All righty. Are we ready to roll then?
Yep.
I can tell April is. She's set up.
Oh, we changed out covers.
Disgusting.
It's cold. You weren't here.
Does it really matter what color the spit screen is on the microphone?
If it looks infected.
Hello, Kevin Ward here. I was a contestant on Face Off Season 9. You may have seen my work in Hans Crippleton Talk to the Hans. Look out for me again in the upcoming web series, Bored as Hell. And you'll also see my work in the upcoming horror anthology, Terror Tales with Heart and Fire Productions. And you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on. It's only the moment that I don't want to miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know. But I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought. Cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop License to Read, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan,
Logan.
And today we are going to be looking at the novel The Perfect Tear by Connie Landsberg. She comes to our fair country by way of Australia. She is actually another Melbourne author that we're going to be looking at. And the story is about a timid orphan with an extraordinary gift must outwit a multidimensional being or become his accomplice in the final destruction of her world. All righty.
Logan's singing.
Why?
Yeah, let's not sing, Logan. We're trying to move forward. All right, here we go. What?
Nothing.
The Perfect Tear, the story starts out in a, I guess, sci-fi setting type with Leroy.
I was always calling him Larion.
Larion.
Let me see it. I can't remember how I pronounced it.
And he's
and I assume that no matter how I choose to say it, it's probably incorrect because of my ignorant country and our dumb
accents. Well, I'm
pretty
sure as I read it, I didn't read all of it, but I'm pretty sure usually if there's names that I can't pronounce right off the bat or I don't care about, I just like empty void where it is. You know, like I'm reading along and it just like blank spaces, but it continues like normal. So I don't stutter over the blank spot. I just know who they're talking about.
It's so it's that literal.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But anyway, along with him, we have Lil Cry.
Lily Cry?
Did you say Lily Cry?
I think it was Lily Creep.
Or it could be Lacry. I mean, God knows.
LaCroix, maybe?
Yeah, it's probably LaCroix. That's what I bet it is.
I'd have to
LaCroix. I'm going with LaCroix.
It sounds like Cruella DeVille type
of name. She's LeBron's long-lost sister, LaCroix.
Well, I'll give Connie credit. She's creating different names since this is a fantasy type book. So that's kind of cool.
No, I mean, I don't know if they're created or if they're common in another country. I don't know anything about those names. So all I'm saying
is
that there's no point in us trying to correct each other because who knows who's right.
Yeah. Is that the one that's the...
She's the girl that's the same age of Leroy.
Oh, okay.
And what's the third one of those?
That's queen person.
Sarah?
Is it Sarah?
When there's a TS, this T is usually silent. It's T-S-E-R-A. So to me, that's Sarah. That not even to Sarah, because to Sarah sounds too stupid. It's Sarah. I'm almost
Sarah.
Sarah, with a more roll in the
you
R.
You just got to sound, like uppity, and you got
it. Has
it
has to sound uppity.
Sarah. Yeah.
With a lot of this.
But this is one that it comes about where it's more the futuristic society. This is, they're kind of the...
No.
Well, it's
no,
like a different
wrong.
Dimension.
It's a higher dimensional being.
Right.
They're like godlike.
So it's a futuristic type society in a way. It's more sci-fi-ish.
Right.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, genre-wise, it's more built around...
I pictured it kind of like with
I think it's still pretty much fantasy because it's talking about they use music to build the universe.
The music is their tech.
Just looking at the cover, I mean, it
and their
looks
magic
sci-fi.
Yeah. They treat it like tech.
Because I pictured it the way
the magic like the, tech. Okay, and the
it's a mixture
the Meg,
of genres.
Yeah. The Meg, the let's talk of the Meg is their
that's their mainframe,
their god, and what basically. Is it? Main energy grid.
Right.
So basically, these upper beings,
the Meg's the heaven. Sarah's their god at the moment. They need. She's reigning god of the angel type.
I thought the Meg was just the board they lived on.
Yeah, that's their heaven.
No, it's like the Brahmin.
Yeah.
It's like the Godhead. Exactly. Like they want to join that whenever they become completely.
Yeah,
that's.
Then they join the Meg, or supposedly.
And I
in the epilogue, it kind of tells you that's not really what happens all the time.
I went to Tron too whenever I thought about it.
Yeah, Tron.
Yeah.
I thought that the epilogue was kind of tacked on to make Sarah not a basically evil mastermind type character. That's what it seemed like.
She wasn't?
No, she definitely was. I'm thinking that.
Yeah, I'm totally with Logan.
Trying to get her some sympathy points.
You know, exactly. And the weird thing is Sarah's almost billed as a good guy.
Yeah.
But let's look at the facts. It's her game. She set it up where they could both lose and everyone die anyway. And she was okay with that.
And the only way to get past her on the chain of command in there is kill all earthlings.
And destroy everything in the third dimension. Not just earthlings, everything in our dimension. Yeah. So our entire solar system, all of our galaxies,
boom.
In this dimension, squish the third dimension and make it up.
So is this kind of like the Hunger Games Maze?
No, nothing like that. No,
this is just the beginning. We're still kind of
going in the wrong direction.
Just the way that it sounds
you're
like.
You're talking about the backdrop maybe
and it only starts out like that and then it goes into the story about Eleanor.
Also, it kind of starts out like a science fair project.
Okay.
Yeah,
you have all these brains doing a contest and whoever has the best science gets to challenge.
But they're not just
Siri.
Smart people or anything. They're
did you just say Siri?
Did you just say Siri?
Siri from iPhone.
you know what I really love is the one on the new Windows 10. What's it called? Cortana.
Yeah.
I love talking to Cortana. In fact, you could say some really weird stuff to Cortana.
Of course you can. Her name is Cortana.
Yeah.
That name is just like...
It's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all of the technology is based around music. They can create anything.
You know, it's the same voice
this computer,
from Halo.
This microphone stand, that was created
Halo
by music.
Is Microsoft's creation. So.
And, but the leading lady, Sarah...
Sarah. Yeah. Oh, we're still talking about this book? Oh, sorry.
She's created this multiple dimensions.
Right.
And whoever becomes the new leader, they choose what they want to do after that.
Okay.
So if they want to destroy all of her stuff and do something different, they can.
Okay. Yeah, she hasn't created the dimensions.
Or they can keep it.
She created our thing, our entities, us in the third dimension.
We're like her project.
They're actually, the only thing they can't manipulate are the dimensions, because she can't even go down there where Larion is, in the deep down, deep below.
So how does Larion play in this book?
What, Logan?
He's like the devil.
The Lucifer expert.
Oh, okay.
And Sarah's main accomplishment was being able to work in these lower dimensions.
Yeah, that's what got her the power.
Yeah.
Because
Lirion, Lirion was one who created something that could literally go.
Yeah, because it's like been impossible for them to actually.
Okay, so he created like a god submarine, which enabled him to go into these lower dimensions, and he wanted to go all the way to the bottom. Well, Sarah's like, let's play a little game. She turned into the guy on Saw. She's like, I want to play a game.
It's actually kind of accurate.
It is kind of accurate. Yeah. And you know,
and
she makes up this terribly twisted game. Like, you go try to destroy the world.
And from what I know, Larion wanted to wipe out humans.
Yeah. Because
he thought they were like,
we just saw
us
as like ants that were in his way.
Yeah.
So is like LaCroix like his assistant? Or
no.
LaCroix. And she was nothing until she became Mother Nix.
Yep.
If you didn't get to Mother Nix, you failed.
She was going for a kind of usurping.
She was in the contest.
She was in the contest. She lost. Yep. But while Larion was busy winning the contest, she was trying to take over the job for Big Sarah.
Yeah.
So Sarah basically threw her down there and said that she deformed herself But I think it was kind of the being in the second, and she was in the second dimension.
Yeah.
So she wasn't in, she was like flat, you know, like no width or height, whichever one it is you take away. Yeah. And then Lyrion was able to go crunch himself into the first dimension, but once he got there, he realized, oh, this I'm one dimensional. I can't leave. Everything hurts. This is terrible.
Did he get stuck there?
Sorry.
Then? For a bit.
Basically, for a bit. In a sense.
Okay. For a long time, yeah.
But so, this dimensional where they go to opens up into a fantasy world.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where we get the fantasy element of this with, and you guys are going to have to remind me of all the names because I don't have the book in front of me now.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
So in the third dimension, they've created a world, and here we are at this world. Yeah. It's like a human
world.
You know
what?
There's the main character.
Eleanor.
There's main character's dad. There's Prince, there's Bodyguard, there's names, Spanish.
Dude. Okay, hang on a second. The main character's Eleanor. Her father is Charles, and her mother is
Maria?
I think that's right.
Like, it sounds like a king and a queen.
No, they're peasants.
Okay, her mom's a singer. Singers are like witches. They're treated like witches, but they're like green like witches or white witches. They're like they use their songs to keep nature in harmony.
Okay.
And this guy Lyrion, when he goes to the first dimension, he starts assassinating.
Actually, no, he doesn't actually assassinate them.
He just takes their songs. Yeah, he lets them live.
Starve,
but basically. He takes their songs and makes them
takes
sing.
Their own their livelihood. Whatever.
if he takes their songs, then what does that mean for them?
They can no longer sing up produce and all that.
Can they talk?
Okay. Which is bad. Yeah, they can
talk.
Okay. But when enough of them lose their power, the earth. Everything in the third dimension starts to feel the effects of their lack of songs.
True, right. But that's just the effect of him getting both the first and the second. First being the basically...
Okay, so basically they're these singers. And what they do is they use a pick comb, a tuning fork.
Tuning fork.
But obviously it has more forks, so they use them for magic, basically. Yeah. And the singers are taught... When they turn 16, Sarah, who created all of this, comes down and teaches them.
So they it's kind of like literally kind of like we were talking about heaven, and you know they're given a little piece of Sarah as their soul. These singers,
because
they can create stuff from their song.
Not quite Sarah, the third grid thing.
They're given their it's not a piece of anything.
Second
given
tone.
Their
the
tone.
Second tone.
Yes, thank
and
you.
And it
they're
is a piece
tones.
Of something. You know, Lyrion needs to collect all of the second tone.
But a tone is more like an idea. Like you go, tone.
In this
but
one,
anyone
no.
that can create it.
Not in this type.
But what I'm saying is almost. She takes the... Yeah, but they solidify it and basically... But it's still... Once they use it, they're still using it to create song. What I'm saying is it's the same thing, but they're giving it a physical attribute.
I just want to mention.
So, yes, he does take the physical attribute of their song, and then they can no longer create any songs. The cover art is nothing like the book.
I don't care about the art. I don't I just want to mention that this could still be read as the perfect tear and still work.
Yeah, it could.
She was totally wrong.
I know, but it could still work because they're tearing dimensions.
Yeah,
they don't really tear them. That's not true.
In a sense, they do because they're tearing through.
Which one?
They're tearing through.
The one we're on.
No, they tear through the dimensions to get down because they're tearing through each dimension.
I'm not saying they're breaking the dimensions apart. It's just
you guys can twist it any way you want, but they actually have to create with their tones a special shield to protect them as they move through the dimensions because they can't.
So they're tearing
moving through.
What I've been trying to say this entire time is the only thing they can't manipulate is the dimension. That's the whole point of the story. Lyrion is in the situation he is because he can't manipulate the dimension he's in.
And we're going to disagree on that one. I have to go on because we're
there's I also still see it as a, they cannot multiply or add on DNA. I am watching you, and you can
I've got two out. Fingers in my face.
Actually, four, but whatever.
Four fingers in my face.
Well, I was doing one finger, but he went double. Oh, that's kill shot. Kill shot. Well,
let's continue on with the story. We're kind of getting bogged down with this beginning steps because the main story is the fantasy aspect, which is Eleanor that gets, you know, she's on the run from Lyrion. Because he's going after all these tones,
right.
And she's the last one, basically.
Right. She can do the whole singing thing that her...
Well, kinda.
At her 16th birthday, all this starts when she's like...
6 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's been kind of in this crushed form 10 years waiting to find out where this last tone is so he can get to it.
So he's not like a whole bean or anything
he is, but he's like Lenny was saying, he's because
compressed.
She tried to make it actually like dimensional, like if you could imagine a one-dimensional being,
right?
Instead of being three-dimensional, where we can move and freely about space.
I
don't actually recall anything implying that bit.
If you think about going through a funhouse and the mirrors,
kind of like that.
So even he's though compressed. Like one makes you small, you're still you.
Makes you small, and then
and
one
it like
makes,
and it slows him down. Move. When in the end, whenever Eleanor goes there, he's trying to talk to her, but he's talking so slowly that she can't even understand.
And he has to send out.
I just read it today, Logan.
And he has to send out his minions to do all his things for him because he can barely move and talk and stuff.
Right,
Lenny was saying.
So he can barely move or anything like that. He has to send people.
But that's how I understand.
As she comes there, what he does is he's slowing down her vibration, to where
that
it matches his
Nyx's T.
Yeah, the Nyx's T slowed down her vibration, and as it got slower, he would seem to speed up to her.
Right,
and then he's moving around and manipulating her freely. By the last battle scene, he seems like he's moving quickly, but really she's just slowed down to an extremely slow vibration, so that she could match his.
Okay,
well, read it. It's in there.
And then I can't remember all the other friends that she gathers around her, but
Audrey. John, Edward.
Well, go through.
Those are nice names. Edwards,
Rosamar.
Edmund's the
Edward's
son.
Is James they, James the king's son?
And they,
James
he kind falls of a dick. In love with Eleanor.
Uh-oh. No, it's William. Yeah, William's the king. William's kind of a dick. And see, and here's another crazy Edward part. When Charles goes north, her dad is actually he leaves her at this nunnery, thinking for maybe a couple weeks to go get some bread because they're real starving. And he gets shipped off for 10 years to the north. And when he gets to the north, at some point, it's a long time in the future after being there for years. He meets this girl Katrina, who's like a fairy too, and she's really weird. And then she has a boyfriend James, and they help him escape. So. That's where I got James. But William is the father of Edward, and he's a real big dick. In the end, he becomes cool.
You kind of understand because they are in desolation.
And they're starving.
He's a worried king, and worried kings are never cool.
They're starving because the first tone was done. And
he took the first two tones, which messed everything up for them. So their world was already being destroyed, whether they acted
or
not. So
did they get married in the end?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Of course.
Damn near everybody.
Then you have the two friends, John. Yeah.
John and Edward are the main friends that are the boyfriends of Audrey and Eleanor.
Right.
Respectively.
Then, and then you have the little goat.
Bella.
Remember the Bella.
The goat. Lamb?
And you know what? Honestly,
is it a lamb or
this
a goat?
Book. Can I see this book for a second? This book, she seriously, instead of your perfect hair crap, she could have literally literally named it Bella Saves the Day. Because if you notice in this book, and not just in the end, but it's really prevalent in the end and they mention it a lot, but all through the book, the little freaking lamb goat, sheep, it's a sheep.
Yes.
Saves every time they're saved from anything. It's the stupid little sheep. Just every single thing. Yes, seriously, like all the way to the end, the sheep literally kills Larry.
There's one bit where
the sheep is literally kills the bad guy.
So who is the story really about?
There is one bit where
the sheep.
There is one bit where Audrey gets them past the gate by sniping down some birds. That's about the total human contribution.
Edward tries to save them on the boat and they get swept over. Yeah. But Bella jumps in with them, so they're okay.
Yeah.
Bella's like Jesus.
By the end,
Bella is
it
is very that part is very whimsically apologetic, I'll call it. She is very Christ-like and savior-ish in her ability to always just walk on water and save the day. And she's a little goat or sheep. I don't know why I keep wanting to call her a goat.
I said that, first of all.
What
was the friend name they came across that midway through?
Rosamar.
And
she's older.
Not that much, though.
No, but a few years older. And they make important to mention it because at the wedding in the end, which is where they're talking about how John and the other girl are going to get married.
Did she get with William?
Soon. And yeah, Rosamar hooks up with the dad. Yeah. Like, and it doesn't say it hasn't happened yet, but she's like,
you know, it's
she's
there.
Putting
I
her
can hook
on
everybody
him.
Up. Yeah.
She, so,
oh, so you're the key.
Yeah. I mean, her attitude towards him changed real fast.
And then she figures out that Eleanor's,
and at the same time, the king starts warming up to all the idea of these new friends real fast.
Wait, and then she figures out that Eleanor's prettier than her, so she hires a huntsman.
Okay, easy to know why.
I'm not getting sued by anyone, so I'm not commenting on that. Did you read the poems in the end? The lyrical
poetry. Is it poems or is it songs?
Well, I mean, they're not being sung to me, so technically they're lyrics. Whether they're poetry or they're meant to be sung.
I mean, like, what, that was my question. I mean,
I don't know. I didn't read them. I just, like, and I looked at some of them.
Were they in the book? Or?
No, they're just in the end.
They're just in the end?
Yeah. See,
I think they're the songs throughout the book that are mentioned that's and like, partly done.
That's what I was asking.
I think those are the full lyrics.
Yeah. Well, and that's like,
because Connie is also a jazz singer.
Okay.
So that's her background, and I think that's why it's musically themed.
I thought April would like it. I thought she would actually read it, but no.
So did I.
Wait for it. I've been holding it. I've just been generally conversing. Bring the paint. No, I actually don't have much to bicker about. The only reason, what, Logan?
Oh, I was waiting for you to finish. So, and one of the reasons Sarah seems like evil type is amount of information and misleading she does has. In that first vision to Emilia or Emma, whatever MC.
Yeah, my the thing that I
can I say, huh?
Yeah,
first vision to MC
main character character that'd be Eleanor.
You need to be Eleanor. More clear than an
you
MC.
You guys read this?
You need to say main character,
MC. MC Eleanor.
No,
she's like wow. Could you see that battle though? She's just slow mo scratching.
That's okay.
It does have a very innocent YA, definite like PG, wholesome feel, and the end
I could see that.
The end is very uplifting. It's very it's very Disney-esque. I mean,
of course.
And I'm not saying that it's not. It was somewhat expected, and some of it was a little bit of a surprise. The epilogue was kind of surprising because I assumed that some of those characters no longer existed, and I won't go any further into that. But like, yeah, so there, it definitely, you know, like the stuff you expect, and it happens. But there's, and what I really liked about it, and what I thought was unique about it, was the musical and the multidimensional aspect being drawn in and together, and combining that with the aspects of our DNA, and trying to really give it a conical kind of centered feel where everything would kind of make sense in its context. And I thought that it was a good book, and it's definitely a good kid's book for like a teenager.
I didn't get into it or read more into it was
just because
that
your teenager means nothing. Just go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I'm YA and I didn't know. I'm like on the back half of YA now, so whatever. Not even, God, I'm so old, but young.
Young adults
but
now
old,
to 23, mid-20s.
I know, exactly. Yeah. That's why I said I'm really not, but I am, but I'm not. I don't know.
You're
what
in the middle.
Yeah. But so the reason I didn't really get into it is that it being so, close with music and everything, I had a hard time with the idea that music was more science and grid-like and very sterile. Not that it's not, because there's science that goes into music. But for me, music is more, I don't know, emotional feelings, art, for me, you know? And so, with the whole, I don't know, contest and grid, and it just didn't sit well with me, but that doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
That's
I mean,
where you have the
story.
Justifications where one society, it was sterile, but in the lower dimensional, it was back to a more rustic time, and it was more emotional.
Right.
So, I think she was playing with that dichotomy a little bit.
And I thought that, you know, the fact that the upper beings, like, because heaven is in the third dimension. Heaven is a creation of Sarah's. So our gods are her playthings. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, what made her the supreme? What made her the boss? was creating all of this. All that. And that's what they do. And that's what Lirion says in the end. He says, I create. That's what I am. So if I can't do that, then, you know, in the end, it's very metaphysical and philosophical about the bad guys are very.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Only Logan. Really seems more of a bad guy by the very, very end.
Mm-hmm.
No, that he doesn't seem that bad, honestly.
Well, I'm not. I mean, yeah, you said that you more identified with Lirion than Sarah, but I'm talking about after he's killed.
Yeah.
After we win or whatever, then when she's talking to him, it seems more like it is. It's very much like they're playing. All they do, they just play games, like kind of like in the old movies about the Greek gods, where they would sit around mm-hmm. playing chess, and then yep. it would zoom That's in on I the got. Chessboard, and it was Perseus, and he was a real dude, and. Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I were talking last week a little bit about this. It felt like that same feeling like at the end of Men in Black where you have the gods playing with marbles.
Yeah, and there are universe. Marbles. Yeah, Earth is one of the marbles. So it's and, you know, and in that way, it's very big and it leaves her world open for a lot of. And I mean, I think that she kind of plays with the idea of doing another book right there at the end. And then it gives her kind of a very nice aspect of world that she could do a lot with. What bothers me about this book is I want to talk about this island on this cover.
That mushroom?
Yeah, this mushroom doesn't exist. It's not part of her world. It's never mentioned. It means nothing. It is not described in the book.
I thought that was the fantasy part. Like, they went to that.
Like, okay, the earth was, like, being destroyed out from under them, so maybe. But, like, I just, the artist, I think, the figures, that's Sarah, that's Eleanor, they're accurate
as hell. That's Bella.
That's Bella for show. And she's, like, an eternal sheepling. That's why she's so weird, because for 10 years,
she
has this thing that has a lifespan of, 5 years? And it never grows up. It's this cute little, it's never this nasty, fat
actual
sheep.
Actual sheep.
Bah, you know, pooping everywhere. And everything. Yeah, you don't shear it. It's, like, literally a fuzzball the size of your anus. This island really, and the other ones too. I think it's kind of when the sinkholes, when they were destroying the world, that's what it's supposed to be.
So you think
it's... But it's way too pretty and like Avatar-ish. I think that it should have been way more destroyed or something.
Well, it looks like it's meant to be like that.
Yeah, and that's not in the story. And that, like, I just wish that the artist would have just calmed down, because this stuff's really accurate.
I wish they would have made
it. It's misleading, and it's on the back too. And it's like, these guys are in the story. I recognize them. You recognize them? Yeah, they're grotids. These are grotids.
That's not quite accurate, because they were from the ground. They were attacked.
No, but some of them fly.
Some flew.
Those were the big dragon grotids.
Yeah, but they're still grotids.
But those were.
I don't know that these are exactly.
Basically,
but I know what she was trying to do.
Attack mold.
I'm a minimalist with my covers, so I would have made it black, but I would have made it a mute black, not.
Yeah, not a shiny black.
Yeah. So mute black, and if you're going to go with the tear thing, just put a teardrop in it and make it like white black scale. Maybe put some shading in the back, you know, red or something like comic style.
Do the final scene, basically.
I don't know, but I like boring.
And I think that's kind of what they were going for, the final scene.
And they definitely, the biggest...
What does it mean by the perfect tear?
Well, I think the last girl was in a tear.
Yeah, and the messed up thing is it's totally... fake.
She's basically holding
this thing that they're searching for
the
whole
time.
I
thought that was a ball. Like a crystal ball.
It is like, and it's called, this crystal ball is called the perfect tear, and it's a conduit. It does nothing by itself.
Okay.
Yeah. He would have never used this rock to destroy the world. He was just letting the world be destroyed by everything else he was doing trying to get it. And if she didn't figure out that it was just a conduit, and they had to release basically the Saiyan energy, like they had to make a spirit bomb to create, to destroy the darkness. Yeah. They had to join hands. I'm serious. They had to join hands and sing Kumbaya, literally, to save the world. Yeah. And it totally worked. And I mean, I think that's great, so after all the arguments over perfect tear, it's neither. The title means nothing. It should have been called Bella Saves the Day. That's the best part of the book.
Well, the title is Rock of the Third Tone.
Bella Saves the Day.
Rock of the Third Tone. I'm doing
subtitle,
the literal
Bella
translation.
Bella Saves the Day.
That's the plot. The title is Rock of the Third Tone.
I can see that. I'll go with it. I'll go with him on that one.
And they actually had Nyx. She, for some reason, hired Nyx to sneak the perfect tear into
Lirion's place.
You can't put Bella on the cover, though.
And randomly made it invisible to Lirion.
Mother Nyx with her big teeth.
See, you can't put Bella.
You guys want to drink some tea? Yeah. I made it of my poop.
Yeah.
And my pee.
Nope.
She had poop coffee.
Mold. What? Sorry. She made it attack mole tea.
Attack mole tea.
Yep.
They have poop coffee where they...
I know, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
Don't drink coffee in South America.
I will not.
Or Asia. Not. It's far from Asia,
yeah,
too.
It's Asia, yes. Too. So. Coffee. You don't know what you're getting.
I think this one...
Learn to translate before you go to the country. That's my
rule. Right. Yeah.
If you're interested in fantasy, I think it's more fantasy than sci-fi, though. It's definitely fantasy.
Yeah, and there's no telling if any of the science is accurate at all. It's just fun, and it kind of works with the musical theory, so I like that. Mm-hmm. I could kind of follow that and see what she was doing.
And I think that's what caught me. It was something different. I never read anything with a musical concept to the story before, literally.
Literally, like a tone and pitch concept, and it was something that I'd never heard of, thought of, anything like that, and it was kind of fun. I mean, it was really worth reading. I would definitely read a sequel just to see more of it, and
this one
kind of like to see if anyone else tries anything like this.
Have to give it some time. Because the first little bits, it was dry.
Yeah, they're rough.
And it's whimsical, and it's very different, and you don't really know what the hell's going on. It starts out with Lilycree's perspective.
At the beginning, doesn't it jump quickly to Eleanor's and then back to, and that caught me, too. That was weird for me, because I was like, oh, so jarring.
Yeah, and you know, they're all in the third person. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of preferred Larion's point of view, yeah.
I liked Larion at the beginning. I thought he was going to be a good person.
In the end, he was. He was all right. Yeah. He was just doing what he
his
was.
Job.
It was a game. They were literally playing Monopoly with the actual universe.
Yep. Pretty much.
So really.
And he lost, but he still got to go home with the banker. So
should we feel bad for pawns that were made to be pawns?
No. I mean.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
But, sorry, years.
I just think it should be called Bella Saves the
Day.
That's my contribution.
But you can't put the word Bella on the cover of a book now because that name's kind of blacklisted off Twilight.
What do you mean by blacklisted?
It's like, I can see a lot of people
turned off
because they think it's associated with
I'm going to say it's
book.
Not illegal, yeah. But you don't want to do it.
Yeah, no, but it's like, whoa.
Graylisted, let's go with that.
Yeah, it's like fuzzy.
But then it might be shaded, so you don't know.
Yeah, what shade of gray? There's 50 okay. to choose.
I think we probably need to wrap this one
up. I think there's actually more than 50 shades of gray.
I'm pretty sure there is. But the
book there's 50 shades of like fucking magenta.
Yeah,
so.
But the book isn't deep enough for that.
Yeah.
You gotta stop at 50, like, whoa.
But anyway, I think for the young audience that likes fantasy, this would be one that they could get into. They might have to go through probably about 50-ish pages before it really starts going for them.
Yeah, if they could handle the host, they could definitely get through this.
Yeah, so I think
and the host isn't bad. There's just about 100 pages there.
That makes sense, because
I just wanted to dig out of that book and throw away.
I love the movie.
I was prodded on, and I was really glad after I got past that desert scene, and whenever it kind of came back to
you were
a
like,
story.
I made it.
Yeah, I felt like I felt like I got out of the desert.
Yeah.
and by the end, I was really glad I read the book, and it made the movie better because you got the they did inside jokes from the book that if you hadn't read the book, you no way would get. They didn't explain them at all in the movie, so it's like here's a nod for our readers, and everyone else is going to hate this movie, FYI. And it worked. Everyone hated it.
I liked it. I thought it was a good movie.
Back to Perfect Hair. That
you want to look? Please, if you want to keep talking about the
Logan's
stuff we're talking
fighting.
About, that's just getting out of control. You're getting crazy.
The prince and the bodyguard, and the very first time appeared, it sounded like they were more her father's age than her age.
Creeper.
Well, older guys back in the day, older guys would marry younger chicks.
How
it was
old
totally
were they, like 20.
They were like 30s.
They were like 12.
They had children already, but their wives had died. So
some into the woods crap.
Yeah, into the woods. Kids,
they were like
so
8 or 12, basically.
Yeah, they were a little older than the girls, but not very.
12?
8 or 12 or 24
years.
37.
Not years
eight
old.
8 or 12 years.
Is it dog
old,
years?
Older?
Is boys' age in this world in
maybe
dog years?
8-ish years old because she was 6 years old, I think.
I thought she was 16 in the book.
Oh, no, no. Like, yeah, she ages, like, in the first chapter, like, 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what I was picturing was, like,
in the first
final
chapter,
battle,
she grows 10
there's
years.
This 16-year-old holding the hand of a 12-year-old.
19 chapters are, like, 37 days. Like, the first chapter is 10 years. The next 19 chapters are, like, 21 days.
All right. Cool.
So it's a 10-year and 21-day
book. So they're around the same age, which is good enough.
Yeah. No,
Romeo and Juliet laws.
Yeah, it's Romeo laws, sure. No, I don't even think they worried about that. They just called her a sorceress and wanted to burn her at the stake was the only thing.
That makes sense.
But they changed their mind, so they're cool.
So we're going to wrap this up now as we tried here before we got off into the hose.
Are you sure you want to wrap it up? I kind of want to keep talking about it.
Oh, but... One last comment.
Yes.
Lirion used the second tone by going boo.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yeah. Okay. That was very fun.
Boo.
Stuff.
Boo.
He said boo.
Yes, okay. I did.
Woohoo.
No, it was Lirion. You quoted him. All right, let's get down to the first dimension here.
All right, let's wrap it up. Like I was saying earlier, this one would be good for the young YA fantasy reader. It's going to be genre driven. If they're into some of the other more real life stuff, they probably wouldn't get into it much. Give them a little bit of time. You know, if you're a librarian out there, tell them, you know, give it a little bit of time, the first 25-50 pages, then it'll get going pretty good. It's fairly fast paced after that point. It's an enjoyable book. We appreciate Connie letting us go through it and have fun with it.
I bought it, so I appreciate myself.
We have it in. We're going to be processing it and putting it in our library if we haven't already.
No, it's not yet.
Yeah,
that is our copy. Okay. Yeah.
So it's a trade paperback. So it's not.
I don't work here.
Not too bad on the budget there. So if you're a library, this would be one that you can put into your library and have fun.
There's 13. That's the trick.
So we're going to wrap it up there. We're having fun. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We'll catch you on the next go around.
Bella saves the day. I got the last word.
See ya.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thing.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.